Dear listeners, welcome to our radio series, Love to Love, a Thursday live segment hosted by Radio Sai's Chandu Vijay at 2 PM every Thursday on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Today's episode was First Aid Live as part of Thursday Live on 11th May 2017.
From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Nishikant Barodekar. Sri Nishikant started learning Indian classical music at a very young age from his grandmother, the legendary Srimati Hirabai Barodekar. He later started to learn tabla under the guidance of Ghulam Rasool Khan and from the world famous Ustad Zakir Hussain. Being an A-grade artist, he regularly performs on All India Radio and TV. He has also toured extensively with Indian and Western musicians of repute. Currently, he is settled in Prashanthi Nilayam and teaches tabla in the Satyasai Mirpuri College of Music. In this talk, he narrates experiences with Bhagwan and the lessons and insights he derived therefrom. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 22nd of June 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs by Padma Shri Hariharan from his concert in the Divine Presence on the 24th of July 2007. And with that, over to Sri Nishikant Barodekar.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering myself at the Divine Lotus Feet of my Lord, Bhagwan Baba. He is present in all of us. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Let us try to get our minds, our body, our soul jagrut. Let us invite him in our purest hearts, in our cleanest minds, and the sacred soul. So, ladies and gentlemen, Sai Ram to all of you. Actually, the topic which is being mentioned on the board, Tripura Rahasya. That's quite a big topic, but I will only share with you what Swami has told about Tripura Rahasya. But before going to Tripura Rahasya, let us have those memories, let us go through those beautiful moments of Bhagwan. When we close our eyes and we imagine ourselves sitting in Sai Kulwant Hall or Sai Ramesh Hall or wherever Swami used to give darshan, let's shut our minds, our eyes, and visualize Swami beautifully coming out from his residence, walking, gliding like a flower, sometimes like a lion, sometimes like a Devi, sometimes like God himself, walking through the lady's side very nicely, very lovingly smiling, picking letters, blessing, creating vibhuti, going ahead to the gent's side. And suddenly sometimes he used to stop there and take a right turn. He used to cut through the students. Suddenly he used to take a shortcut, but he wanted to go through the students. So one day what happened? Swami suddenly took a shortcut through the students. All this time when Swami, since he came out from darshan, there was a boy in the front, a student, a young boy, a school boy. School boys, college boys, you know, they have their areas to sit. So younger boys, especially in the primary school who are learning, first standard, second standard, they are made to sit right in the front. So at one such occasion, one boy from the second standard He was not attentive. That Swami has already come out from his residence and started darshan. He was in his own trance, and on his hand he was trying to play some kanjira or something like that. He was like busy with himself. So as Swami came closer to him, the boy next to him, you know, he poked him and said, "Swami, Swami." So suddenly he looked up and Swami was already standing in front of that boy. Swami very elegantly, very lovingly, like a mother, keeping his hands behind the way he used to ask, "Where you come from?" to that boy, who was not actually attentive, but suddenly, you know, he's like, "My God, Swami is in front of me. Where you come from?" questioned Swami. The boy said, with folded hands, "Swami, I come from you. If it were me or you, I do not know. I would have said I come from Pune or Delhi or Hyderabad or something like that. But look at this boy, second standard, young mind, young intelligence, whatever it is. But at random, when he is called in by Swami and asked a question, where you come from? The immediate answer was, "Swami, I come from you." It doesn't stop there. Swami goes further and asks him, "How do you know? How do you know?" So the boy again says, "Swami, my heart says so." Second standard boy, you know, talking the entire philosophy, the correct answer. Who makes you all this do? "Swami, I come from you." Now Swami even doesn't stop, even he goes further, he's happy. He's happy with the boy, but he still asks him, miming his body places, like, you know, he says, "Your heart is here, 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 your leg, where is your heart? Where is it?" The Swami very, the boy very lovingly again says, "Swami, my heart is with you." This is the kind of answer, this is the kind of that alertness, that jagrukta Swami wants us to be. Awareness or jagrukta or moral class or whatever you call it, it's not just bookish. It should be learned. Of course, we have to learn, we have to read many things, but how to inculcate, how, when, which time, in which manner, in front of whom, in which context, everything. It should fall in such a place as that boy's answer. Swami was very happy. Immediately Swami, with a wave of his hand, created a chain and put around his neck. So, what is all this divine drama? How can a second year boy just join college, a school like 2 years back, or just 1 year back, 6 year old boy. So, when we try to take that position in our own matter, or we try to be in his place, it is really difficult. Go into that boy's psychology, think that if I were sitting there, what I would have answered? What made that boy say that? Is it just his innocence? Or is it the teachers who taught that? Or is it he's already reading so many books? Or he's already gained so much philosophy and all these things? Moreover, it is Swami only who makes you answer. Because at that moment of time when Swami is asking question, he's already giving you the answer also, if we are that much receptive. That is what Swami has said in one of the close encounter, you know, interview. That when Swami asks a question, or rather even the other way around, if you ask a question to Swami, you actually know the answer, but still you want God to give that answer. Most of the time, some answers are, we can't say, with time related or that, or with someone's health, that's a different thing. But moreover, if you like really think, is that question necessary? Or if Swami said, if I ask that question, he was always giving the answer in which way? In his own divine way. But the way Are we ready to take that answer? Are we open enough? Is our awareness that much alive? Is our Jagrutta really, you know, open? Is the matter what this topic leads to? Tripura Rahasya. Actually, Tripura Rahasya is such a big topic which Tripura means Mata Tripura, Tripura Devi. Or sometimes it is called as Trinity also. It is related to Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Now they say that Lord Shiva shared this matter to Vishnu. And after later that, Vishnu took an avatar of Dattatreya. So Dattatreya narrated the whole thing to Parashurama. That is the Advaita. As even very nicely and clearly explained by Ramana Maharshi also. Very, 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 very deep philosophy, very, very beautiful language. But I am not entering that era. I am only wanting to share what Swami said about Tripura Rahasya. It's small, but it's amazing. Let me say, this was shared by Swami to the temple priest way back in maybe 96-97. And the day he was going to, that priest had finished his duties and he was wanting to, rather I can say he was leaving from Puttaparthi because of his some health problems and some domestic affairs. So he had to leave Puttaparthi for good and go to his hometown. That time Swami called this priest for interview. That priest, first name I don't remember, the name was Bhatt. Bhatt. So, this was narrated by him to the students and we got to hear him from Mr. Bhatt. What Swami said that once it so happened that in that interview that Mr. Bhatt, the pujari, the priest, he was like, you know, Swami asked him, what do you want? You know, Swami's usual question in interview is to ask before leaving also he used to ask. Leaving means after in the interview room, you are leaving out, he will ask you, what do you want? And he will, sometimes used to create things, he used to create vibhuti. Sometimes used to bless. He used to put even akshada just like that. So this priest said, Swami, you are Akhila Brahmanda Nayaka. What can I ask you? And what you cannot do? You can do everything. Swami said, no, that's not the matter. You don't know what it is. And then Swami started narrating this Tripura thing to that Mr. Bhatt. He said, there was a time when Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, they were together, they were having a discussion, kind of a debate, saying as that, who's most powerful? Now see, even gods even had that issue. Forget us. Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, having a debate amongst themselves, that who's the biggest, who's the most powerful or who's the greatest. So, the discussion went on for a long time. This is exactly what Swami has told, I am narrating it to you. It was tough because each and every god, they're gods. So it was difficult for them. But in the meanwhile, what happened? The fourth form came out from Shiva as Rudra. The Rudra stepped out and now they had four of them having debate who's the strongest. So, they could not solve. So finally, it was decided that let's go to Mata. Mata is the right identity or right goddess. She will let us know what is happening. See, they go to Mata. When they enter the palace of Mata, Darbar of Mata. There's a beautiful throne for Mata over there. And when the four of them go there, they are stunned to see that the four chairs of Mata, one chair is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh and Rudra. That is her chair on which she sits and reigns. So they were dumbfounded, they could not answer. They were like shocked to see, and not just one chair, there were so many chairs, all having the same four of this, you know, the same. So they were all stunned and did not know what to do. In that moment, Mata enters the palace and she sits on the throne. So the discussion starts, what made you come here and all that. So they say, we don't know what's happening, but we want to know who's the most powerful or who's the most greatest. Now this discussion is happening, but in the meanwhile, Mata gets up and starts running away towards the door. And she goes out of the door, these people also follow, this god also follow. And when they open the door and they see outside, they are so stunned. They see hundreds of Matas with hundreds of Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshas running and walking towards something up there on the mountain. So many of them. So they are from all the Brahmandas. They don't know what it is. But when they go closer and they reach closer, this is what Swami has said. They found that there is a throne there. Nobody is sitting on the throne. But there are some padukas. There's a pair of padukas. And then Swami asked the priest, you know whose padukas they were? Swami didn't say, it is my paduka. Swami said, this body is padukas. Now when we look at Swami, when we think of Swami, when we talk of Swami, that rahasya, what it was, then Swami said, Akhila Nayaka of Brahmandas Brahmanda, Devadi Deva, that is the real Parabrahman. That is Swami's true identity, the real rahasya. But when we look at Swami as in human form, when we look at Swami, when we had darshans, when we used to listen to Swami, when we used to get Pad Namaskar, or maybe Swami taking a letter, Swami used to put us in that maya. That maya is nothing but His love. But if He did not put that maya on us, is it possible or was it possible ever to even look at Him? No. Because when you say the utmost, the topmost, or the entire, actually the source standing in front of you, blessing you, giving you darshan, giving you sparshan, sambhashanam also, we could have never digested that. So that maya Swami puts, kahan se aaya, what is your name, what all this drama, because only to make us comfortable, to make us, you know, come to our social, you know, kind of psychology, oh, I am narrating some, or I am talking to somebody, he is a body, some body, godly body. But now what happens is that we take Swami for granted, we only take Him for body. That should not be the case. When we relate to Swami, every time, when I heard this for the first time, I was actually in shock that so much closeness we got of Swami, so much love, so much physical attention, so much of guidance. Who was that? It was just Satya Sai Baba in one human form, wearing a beautiful orange ochre robe and a beautiful halo of hair. That's it? That's God? Yes. It was not just God, but what I just said, the God of gods. Many of the present and even the past. Everyone must have not read it, but I'm sure some of them must have definitely read it. May it be Ramana Maharshi, may it be Aurobindo Ghosh, or may it be so many of them in Nadi Puran, in this Puran, in that thing, in all our scriptures and our mythological sacred books. It's mentioned, after so many years, this avatar is going to come after that. It's written in Bible, it's written in Quran, it's written everywhere. So actually the Tripura Rahasya is no Rahasya. There is no Rahasya. It is the open secret for all. Only the secret is that we have to, not secretively, but openly accept that and look at him and respect him in that manner. We always respect him as God, fine. God, there's nothing in between God and you. But now when we understand that he is like really something even bigger than God, what is that? That is him.
Lavanya Ramatanu Narajuda Adi Lavanya Ramatanu Adinavanya Ramatanular Judave Shivanita Anya jana vanyara matanura judave hatina vanyara matanura judave. Suni dinu sukare ramani manasuni soga suni dinu sukare tamasa Ramakanunarajudare Atinavanya Ramakanunarajudare.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will now continue with the talk by Sri Nishikant Barudekar. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 22nd of June 2016. Stay tuned.
Now, every person who saw Swami, who got to talk to Swami, or even if he has not seen Swami, doesn't matter. Yet every person coming to Puttaparthi or believing in Swami or wherever he or she is has a personal relation with Bhagwan. What is that relation? That relation is only between Lord and that devotee or that follower, whoever it is. And that is unique. Nobody can come in between. Not your parents, not your children, not your mother, nothing. I mean, that is one to one. How many devotees we have of Swamis, how many, forget all that number, numbers are not important. The intensity, even it may be a small case, I had a small example, okay, I have a very small example of Swami. Sir, experience or miracle happening is never small. If the belief is strong, it is a That's the final example. But we are always in search of bigger miracles, bigger experiences, voluminous things, because we are having our human nature, you know, we are not satisfied till sugar is sugar and gold is gold and paper is paper. So we are still stuck up in that. Let me narrate and share some of the cases how people or followers had their relations with Swami. One, two cases I have seen very closely. I was very fortunate in one of the interviews. Those were the times, like 97-98, I was very fortunate that Swami used to ask me to come and sit in the interview room, and sometimes when the interview was going on, he used to ask us to give the vibhuti or get some gifts and all from inside. So we were just like supposed to work there and sit there. The interview was not for us, the interview was for them. But we were like very fortunate to be in the room, but to listen to what it was. And what I'm going to narrate you will shock you, because it shocked me that time. There was this couple, I don't know their names, but they were Parsi. They were from Delhi. And very elder. They were elder to Swami. They were in age elder to Swami. And there were some other two, three people over there. One couple was there. So totally there were like five, six people over there. That's all. So Swami called for interview. I was also fortunate. I sat behind over there. And these people, they sat. Swami came and sat in the chair. Whenever Swami used to call in for interview, Swami used to come inside last. Mostly. He used to ask everyone to go and sit inside. And then he used to come. He used to first close the door, put on the fan, and then sit on his chair. Or he might even go and look at his letters. M. Peri, what's happening? Kaise? Then he will start his... Or he might even start with his, you know, vibhuti, or he will create, he will give everyone. So this gentleman, this Parsi gentleman, was sitting very close to Swami. As soon as Swami closed the door, put on the fan, and Swami got seated on his chair, on his throne. Yes, how are you? Swami asked that person, Parsi person. You won't believe, sir, that person was, he was so old, it was difficult for him to get up. He got up like this. And he touched Swami on his shoulder like that. So I was also like aware what he's doing. You're not supposed to touch Swami. And he started talking to Swami. He started in Hindi. I'll exactly tell you what he said first. Ye kya hal bana ke rakha hai Bhagwan tumne? Ye Bhagwan aise hota hai kya kabhi? Aap chal nahi sakte hai, aap kursi pe baithte ho, ya aapko shobha nahi deta. I mean, he started blaming Swami right like that. I'll tell narrative in English now. What is this? Is this kind of a God? You cannot walk properly and you're sitting on a wheelchair? Is this how God looks? He is like accusing God directly. Now, even I was like, you know, a little bit on security matters, like trying to, you know, but Swami, you know, nicely just did like this. Nothing. Sit down. We were all quiet. And Swami was very calm. His wife also was pulling him, don't talk like this. And like, you know, he was too excited about it. So he went on. And Swami was very calm. He was like looking, he was smiling. After all that steam went off, Swami looked at him, oh yeah? That's it? You know what Swami did? Swami took his own glass, removed the lid, caught his head and gave him water. Shant ho jao bole. And then he looked at us and said, bhola hai, bachcha hai. He said he's very true to his heart and he's like a very innocent kid. And that person started crying. That was the kind of relation he had with God. The whole time he was holding Swami's feet. The whole time he was, you know, trying to touch Swami and like, you know, now, when we see this kind of passion or love or that maternal or what, I don't know how to say it. Everything put together, if I ask you what you feel about, is it a correct way to correspond to Swami or talk to Swami? Sir, when it is truth, there is nothing like wrong. But still our emotions we have to control. Then Swami spoke to other people. They had a child. Swami blessed that child. Swami created Vibhuti. He gave everyone, but he didn't give to that person who spoke to him. Now he was again like kind of, you know, naturally he started looking here and there. Everyone got Vibhuti, but Swami didn't give me Vibhuti. Now something was maybe going in his mind. Swami is pakka khiladi. He is now a real gamer, tamer and gamer. Later, towards the end of the, when Swami spoke to everyone and, you know, he talked to that Parsi person's missus also. So they talked about family and all that, and it was time to, you know, then Swami asked us to give Vibhuti packets again, because, you know, people want to give Vibhuti. So I got up and was giving Vibhuti. And then when I went to him, I looked at Swami, shall I give him Vibhuti or not? Because we were scared. I do not know what to do. Then Swami, I just hold the packet like that. Then Swami said, isko jyada lagta hai. You know, he needs more. Then Swami took a full bunch and gave it to him. And then said, some of it you keep it and then give it to your family. And control your emotions. Control your feelings. And Swami said, I love everyone. Everybody is mine. See, this is one kind of relation, you know, very rare to see, very rare to experience. Some cases we have seen in our college. We had a student in our music college. This student was not having any, he was a new student and he had joined us 2 years ago. His background or his parents never even knew about Swami. Forget being devotees or any bhajan, or they did not know anything. Only they knew that there is a music college and it is free and this boy is talented, let's give a try. So he was appointed according to the audition and all that, and he was a vocal student, Carnatic vocal student. So he was there for 1 year, 2 year, and we used to, you know, every day, once in a week, we have this moral class in the college. And we invite people to talk, to share, to have a moral class, you know, to talk about Swami. Because, especially now, those boys who have not physically seen Swami, you know, we narrate stories, we tell how Swami used to be, how used to talk. He's there, but, you know, physically what Swami used to do, we share with them. And experiences like that. And we used to ask other boys also to experience, share their experiences, etc. But this boy, particularly, for 2 years, he never had any experience. So one day he came and said to me and said, sir, maybe I'm not a good devotee. I'm not getting any experience. I'm not getting any miracle. So what to answer? I said, you have to pray. You have to wait. Or maybe when the right time comes, you will experience it. And that experience is going to be such that nobody is going to come in between you and him. That's the speciality of our Bhagavan. That boy, during the sports meet, when he was practicing some rope climbing, the rope stunts we have, by accident, from almost 30 or 35 feet, he fell down right on his neck and fell down like that. So he was unconscious, he was taken to the hospital. In the hospital, they immediately treated him. Luckily, his, spine was not that damaged. Little bit damage was there. And that boy did not come out of his unconsciousness like for 3 days, which is very difficult, very, very dangerous. Now, medically, then surgeons were called in and the treatment was on. He had a bruise also, he had an injury also. His foot was fractured, but nothing happened to his spine. When he came out after 3 days of unconsciousness, he was a complete different person. And then he didn't say anything much. But one day, after the sports meet finished and all that, one day he said, sir, I want to narrate my experience with what happened. Can I share? So we gave him a chance. First we have to listen what he wants to say. We listened. It was really beautiful. So he stood over there in front of the mic and he started narrating. Oh dear Lord, the entire thing was different. What he was there before the sports meet and later. Complete change. He was, suddenly he had become very humble. Suddenly he had become very loving. I mean, he was a normal person, but still, you know, coming from outside. Then he narrated that when he actually fell from there, when he fell from that height, he said Sai Ram. And then he doesn't know. He said Sai Ram, that's it. But later he said that he actually saw himself being actually treated and cured by Swami. Swami was rubbing his hand on his neck. So that was a personal kind of an interview, an experience. And further, every day when he was unconscious, Swami used to visit him and create vibhuti and give it to him. So he used to see him on lying on the bed. He had not died, but he was unconscious. Maybe he was in coma, we don't know. So Swami said, there is so much you have to do, so much work you have to do. Be ready. There's more to come. So after that, this was when Swami was in, you know, when before Swami going in Samadhi. So this boy, he wrote a letter to Swami, thanking Swami. Swami, I am so thankful you saved my life and this and everything. And he wrote that experience also, what he saw in. Swami took his letter and then he said, call your parents. I want to talk to them. So he was more happy. So parents were called in and after a few maybe days, Swami gave them an interview. In the interview, now Swami was narrating the whole story. What happened? He said, this boy, before getting any experience, was very neutral. He was not knowing nothing. But he was okay. But there was one bad element in him. And that bad element only I know. In front of parents, Swami did not say anything. He just looked at the boy and said, so he got scared. Are you doing it? Swami asked him. Is that bad element still inside you? So that boy got so scared. He said, no Swami, it is gone. It's gone forever. Then he said, you know why your parents are called? Then Swami narrated, said that your parents have prayed because they got this child after 15 years of marriage. They have prayed. And they have prayed not only to one goddess, they have gone all over the country praying to all kinds of, you know, chardhams and shrines and you name it. Rameshwaram, Tirupati, Mahalakshmi, Kashi, everywhere Shirdi. So much they have done just for them that they should have a baby boy. So with their so pure request and pure love for God, it is the Parabrahman who decided that you should have a boy. But actually their Purva Karmas, your parents' Purva Karmas, do not have anything which is positive. But if the Parabrahma decides, he can just keep away the karma here, he can just hold the nature there, and he can grant whatever you want. That is the power of the Parabrahman. Now, with all this greatness and the heavy thing, the boy started, you know, again crying out of joy. Thank you Swami for, well, this. I said, no, don't thank me. Because what responsibility Swami has given you, you don't even imagine. And not, this is not in just one life, you have to have three lives. Swami told him about the future lives also. So many different relations everyone has with Swami. Another thing we have to always be on a lookout is that many of us are with Swami for so many years, so many decades. We are praying Swami, we are loving Swami, We yearn for Swami. We work for Swami. Everything is Swami for us. And sometimes what happens, at least it has happened with me, that's why I want to share. Especially now I am a teacher in the music college for the last 10 years as a permanent person. I started taking things for granted. What things? You know, suddenly, like say, I am driving my car, I am going to a city, I want to park my car and there is no parking place. The parking place is really far. But maybe my mother is there and I want to park my car there so she can come near the car. I go there, there is no parking place. I say Sai Ram. And I am looking around for the parking place. The next moment, exactly the car next to me goes off and I get a parking place. Oh, coincident. Okay, thank you. Nice. So I am so lucky. Some other time I am driving a scooter and somebody comes just, you know, there is an accident in front of me and that motorcycle is going to dash into me with that speed. But nothing happens. He just falls there. How is it possible? Maybe by coincidence. Another time something happened. Oh, maybe, you know, my luck is good. Then I started realizing, why am I thinking like this? Why am I not thinking about God? It's God protecting me every time. You know, every day, if that's what Swami said, your day starts before you go to sleep. You close your eyes, pray to God, and He has said, especially the boys, He has said in the college, have a flashback of the day. Like, you know, rewind the day and quickly have a quick, like you scan the day and find out if there is something. You will see there is an experience, there is a miracle, there is an personal protection or whatever of Swami every day. We don't even take notice of it. We take it for granted. And then we say, no, you know, I have no, in the last 4 months or maybe 6 months, I didn't even have any Swami dream. Forget dreams, yaar. He is actually protecting us every day. But we take it for granted. Oh, ye toh hota hai. It just happens. So what? This mistake, when I suddenly realized, when I was reading a book, I found this. No, I am wrong. You have to be on a lookout every day. Your antennas have to be alert. You can be after Swami. Swami, please, not just bless me, but give me the taste of that miracle every day. Not every day, but at least once in a while. And see the chamatkar, see the fun. Because then you become jagrut. Then you become more alert, that awareness. And it cannot be forced on. When it is natural, when it happens naturally, you understand. We understand that this is Swami, or this is not, I mean, that's a divine moment. Even if it's a small thing, it's a divine moment. And that divine moment is the miracle for your day. Maybe there are two. We don't know. So we should never blame Swami or talk to others. No, I'm not getting any dreams. I'm not having any experience. I don't know if Swami is attentive to me or not. No. I mean, now we are regular devotees. I mean, if somebody is new, it's a different case. But if you are a devotee for 20 years, 10 years, 15 years, be on that lookout and not just, I mean, keeping everything, only keeping your antennas open for a new experience also is not correct. But doing your daily chores, you cannot imagine so many times so many things happen. So this is one of the requests for all of us. Just as a sharing part, I felt that I should share this with you. People sit over here in Bhajan and Gurvanth Hall for darshans, for bhajans. Some of them are sitting behind alone, some of them are in between, everywhere, all over place, people are sitting over there. Every darshan, every moment, every time you sit there, especially when you go to Gurvanth Hall and sit there, sometimes you miss it. It happens. You are in work or you are not well or you miss the bus or something is there. And sometimes we cannot reach. Even if you are in Puttaparthi, you miss a darshan. You miss accidentally, I mean, not on purpose. Don't feel sad. You feel sad, okay, darshan is lost and I'm late. But if you are like, you know, if you start missing that, if you start missing Swami physically, though I have to be inside Gurvanth Hall only to have that darshan, to have that vibration, to have, of course, when you are in Puttaparthi, try to make 100% of it. But if you once in a while miss it, accidentally or by hook or crook, don't feel sad because he gets more sadder.
कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जीऊं ये भूल कैसे करूं मैं भूल जाऊं तुझको ये भूल कैसे करूं मैं भूल जाऊं तुझको मैं खो भी जाऊं कहीं तो तू ढूंढ ले तेरा मेरा मेरा तेरा रिश्ता बना सबसे जुदा कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जीऊं रिश्ता बना कैसे जुदा कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जीऊं कैसे जीऊं कैसे जीऊं
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will now continue with the talk by Sri Nishikant Barudekar. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashantinilayam on the 22nd of June 2016. Stay tuned.
And he said that there is no need to be sad. If you are doing your daily chores, you are having your life going, you are having some kind of a problem one day. I'll narrate my own incident. After Swami... after taking, going in Samadhi. This was like three and a half years back. Normally, I'm fortunate I get to attend the bhajan, to participate in the bhajan as a tabla player. So, we have many boys and teachers, staff, who are appointed by Swami, who have been, there's a, you know, kind of a system, who sings and who plays, who participates in the mandir bhajans. So, I'm part of it. So that was my turn, you know, because there are many tabla players, we take turns to play. It was my turn, that day was my turn to play. Normally it is Thursday. By hook or crook, my college work went a little excess. And we had this meeting and all that, and I forgot to message. And normally we have a group, we message, hey, Sairam brother, if somebody else can take my place today, I cannot go for Mandir Bhajans. I forgot to do that. Because I was in that meeting and when I realized, the bhajan had already started. Now, after that, you won't imagine my entire psychology was so horrible because, you know, it was my responsibility to tell, pass the message that somebody should take my place or please cover me up. But maybe I was involved in the work or I don't know, it just slipped my mind. You won't believe the amount of, you know, tension I had and I was sad. I was angry with actually, I should say I was more angry with myself. So I went home and my wife was already gone for bhajan. I was alone in the house, so I cried in front of Swami. I went to Swami's photo and cried. I said, Swami, I am wrong and give me punishment. I should have not done this. At least I could have had some message sent. So I was having that guilty feeling. But anyway, with sad mind, and again I went to Mandir and I was there for Aarti. I was there for Aarti. And after Aarti, I went to the Samadhi. I took darshans. I took Sparshanam also. And then I went inside to the bhajan hall. Now inside the bhajan hall, normally after Aarti, they quickly hurry up and clear the whole bhajan mandir because they want to have meditation group over there. As you all must be knowing, meditation group sits over there. So I went inside and I don't know why, but the priest was standing there and he said, you come here, come here. I said, what happened? Come here. He asked me to come near the Swami's chair. And he gave me some extra prasadam, some kumkum and some vibhuti and stuff. I said, I did not know what the occasion was. I just took, I was very happy. Anyway, because I was a little depressed. So he gave me and I was, who doesn't want? I mean, if you are given Swami's prasad, it's like, wow. When I went home, I gave it to my wife and she said, what was the occasion? Is any function or some puja is going on? I said, I don't know. I mean, they just called me and they gave me the kumkum and vibhuti. So I was happy also, but still that guilt feeling was running in my mind. You won't believe, sir, next morning, early morning, Swami comes in my dream. Nicely Swami is standing, he is afloat in air, like 3 feet in air, very handsome, very powerful with his hands behind, nicely, you know, as the way he used to give darshan. And he says, only few words he said, abhi bhi confused hai. Still you are confused. So I, in the dream, like I was like, you know, almost like begging Swami, Swami, I'm sorry, I should not have done this. Then Swami said, don't worry. Don't take too much tension. If your heart is pure, everything is fine. But then he said, your duties you should do in time with proper care, with correct your concentration. And leave the rest to Swami. Now I got the message so clear. I mean, it's a small thing, but it's not small. So, you know, what he wanted to say that you don't be sorry for it. I mean, you feel guilty, that's okay. But like, you know, don't cry for it. Then the last word Swami says, Tumko dukhta hai, to mujhe bhi dukhta hai. In Hindi he said, very nicely, if it hurts you, it hurts me also. So the message was so profound that fine, I mean you can apologize, fine, but don't be really sad or like, okay, from today I will have a vratam for 8 days, 15 days, nothing of that sort. Start working better. Be practical. Swami is a very practical God. Absolute practical. Many a times he is, when we talk about vrat or fasting, little bit what Swami has personally told, let me share that to you. Fasting as food fasting. I used to do that Sade Sati, you know, 7 years, 7.5 years, you are supposed to fast on Saturday, a particular, you know, your star, that astrological, that move is not correct for 7.5 years, so you need to fast. I was told by some priest or somebody, we were doing that, I was doing that. And this was long back. And very very staunch. I was, because I never had fasted. So now they said fast, it was difficult for me. But then I said, okay, I will do it in the most difficult one. What was the most difficult one? Oh, the whole day I will not eat. I will only have water. And after that, next day, whatever is okay served, I will have. So I used to have that Chadasati fast. Now I was, in that, during that time, I was fortunate to be a Sevadal, a security person in the ashram for many years. So it was happening during that Sevadal time also. Now, to stand as a Sevadal and work there as a duty of 8 hours with a fast like that, well, chalo, when we are young we can do it. But, you know, to do it every day and every time to come, every Saturday. So what started happening was, you know, you started calculating all that kind of food content in your stomach and all that, you know, the technical things. I think Friday night I used to started eating more, so I should not feel weak when I'm standing. Oh no, no, duty is duty. I should be there like that with duty. You know, that mind also is telling me about duty, and I am trying to console myself eating more, that I will be energetic effect enough to be standing there as 8 o'clock or 8 hours, and also again, you know, with a break of 6 hours, or no, again 8 hours. So it was all only technical for me. Now I am saying that. But that time I was like, you know, trying to be the best over there. Why? Oh, fasting. No. I don't want to do fasting because somebody has told me I should not fast. But my entire mind to that 8 hours or maybe 24 hours, it is only in food. And I am standing there. Luckily what happened, during such times, Swami had this series of discourses. He spoke for 6-7 days in a row. And I was lucky enough to attend that discourse sitting in the audience. I was having fast that day also. It was a Saturday. And Swami, while talking, exactly came out to that topic as fasting. So I was so happy, like Swami is talking about fasting, and I'm, you know, feeling very, little bit maybe proud also. Wow, I'm doing fasting, I'm trying to be regular. Nicely, Swami, you know, coming to the content, he's saying, yes, fasting. It's only food fasting. And Swami is explaining very nicely about fasting, and I am getting more elated. Wow, I am like, you know, so happy that I am fasting today, you know. And after some time, actually I started getting an ego out of it. Believe it or not. Wow, I am fasting, like, you know, I am looking around and like, you know, nobody knows I am fasting. Who cares, yeah? I mean, everyone is for himself. They might be fasting. But that, you know, Swami only putting that maya, you know, that pumping up nicely, that balloon of ego or whatever. And then he said, fasting, fine. Then he actually said, some people are doing duties, calculating how much food is there in their stomach. Exactly what I have been thinking, Swami is telling on the mic. Swami, and he says, like, this is really bad. This is not fasting. Swami very politely saying, very lovingly saying, you should think, because you are one with God. Upa vas. Then he told about upa and vas. That when you think about God, when you are with God, and when your mind is completely, you know, circling towards godly needs and godly thoughts, chores, you don't even think about this thing then. It's just happening. Then he said suddenly, no, fasting is good. It is good for you for digestive system. It is good for you for digestive system. But if you are like calculating how many 21 somvars or how many 7 years, 7.5 years of everything, Swami said, as if it was only for me, he was telling me that. No, this kind of fasting he doesn't want. Only physical, not eating food is not fasting for him. Most of you must have read this. So he is a very, very particular and very, very practical God. Most practical avatar, that's been said as elders. Later, when we think about Swami as a friend, Swami said, take me as a friend. What? How do we take Swami for a friend? I mean, how can he be a friend? Just now, half an hour before, I'm saying that he is the Tripura Rahasya, Brahmanda Nayakadu Nayakas, and the actual Parabrahman himself. And again, he's coming down and saying, no, I'm your friend. Take me as a friend. How to take Swami for a friend? How to get that bond of friendship? Or how do we maintain that bond? Or how we understand that I am His friend? Swami said in a very simple way. When you are awake, again, Jagrut, that Jagrut word is coming again and again today. When you are Jagrut means awake, as in, you know, when you are, after you are asleep, you get up and your day starts. Pray for Him. We always pray for God. Like, you know, we say Karagare also, we say Brahmarpanam, and we say Sai Gayatri also. Everything we say. Only remember one thing He said. Whatever you are doing, whatever is happening with you, always on your right side, feel and remember, He's standing at your right side. Swami even showed the side that I am always standing at your right side. You might not seen me, you might not see me. But if you try to behave in that manner, that I am not alone, my God is walking with me, my guardian is walking with me, my protector is walking with me, and you do your job, you do your chores. You have your bath, you go for work, you start cooking, or you do your go to school, or whatever job you are doing. Don't forget that He is not there. I mean, always remember that He is always with you. Now, some students ask us this question, sir, if you think about Swami, how can we concentrate on our studies? How can we concentrate on our work? Like, I have to do a project, but I am doing some kind of a, you know, a chalking out of credit and debit, and if I think about Swami physically, I might go wrong here, physically. So how is it, how to, you know, balance that, how to do it? He said it's very simple. Take that job as not just the office job or not just your duty. You are doing Swami's duty, think it is Swami's duty. And have that pure thought and start working as you do Swami's duty. As you do cooking, when you do naivedyam, when you cook food, when you cook for God especially, with such pure heart, with such loving, you know, feelings, maybe even chanting name. Cooking you can chant name, but working maybe it is difficult to chant name. You make a habit of that. That habit should be such that every day it becomes a natural thing. And when that becomes a natural thing with you, if you really practice, Swami said, it's difficult. I mean, we try, but it still doesn't work every day, or maybe once in a while we can see that. Swami says, if you be a habit and you forget that it's even a habit, it's just part of your life, that is when He already has become a friend with you. Because He will guide you, He's always guiding you, but still when that bhavana, that much inculcation, that much natural, that concentration or that feeling is there, that I am never alone, I am always with God, or God is always with me. He is actually your friend then. And He will help you in all walks of life, in every situations, in every circumstances, whatever it may be. He will reduce your difficulties. He will help you when, you know, you are in dire need of something. He will definitely, in some form, He will come and help you out. That is a friend. So He says, take me as a friend, but don't take me so casually. Now Swami comes with His real Swamihood. Don't over be casual and be, oh, Swami is my friend. No. I mean, fine, He is your friend for you. I mean, you can say it. But don't, like, you know, behave in that manner. Arey, Swami toh humara friend hai, yaar. Kya hai, usko kya bolna hai, wo kya karenga? If you start thinking in that terms, oh, He is my friend. So what? He is always there. I don't need to worry. Don't even have. See, when everything Swami says, our human mind, immediately we start pumping our ego every day. Even if you feel that Swami is with me, I start getting ego. Even if I feel that, now I am putting my vibhuti, I am sacred, I am pure, I am protected, and you start getting ego. Why is this ego coming everywhere? Why is this pride everywhere coming? Be natural, be true. Then He says, when it becomes too much, again look back and tell, no, He's my God. If you look at Him as God again, remember Him yourself every day. He's God. You are, be aware how you treat Him. Be aware, because He's very, very alert. His blessings are continuously on. His blessings are all the time on. Only it depends how we relate to every situation, every moment of life. Every moment, every circumstance, what we are doing every day, every moment. So He's concerned, His love, His friendhood, His Godhood. If we put all together, and Swami says, when you meditate, when you sit back and be alone for some time, and somebody was asking, what is the meaning of meditation? 10,000 people have said everything about meditation. There's nothing more to be said. I was fortunate, one of the interviews, Swamini asked me, meditation karta hai? Do you do meditation? So I told my truth. Swami, I try to sit down quietly, but my mind is not, I cannot control my mind. And it goes here and there. Monkey mind, it goes everywhere. Then he was asking about, because I am a musician, I play tabla and all that. So he said, you play tabla? Yes. How many hours you practice? Sangeet, you need to practice. So I said, Swami, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours, sometimes more, less. He said, when you practice, think of me. Practice, think of me while you are practicing. That is your job. That is enough meditation. That is part of it. Now, did he tell me in a sarcastic way that you cannot do that, that's why you do this? Maybe he told me in that way. But it helps. And, I mean, why I am saying this, because maybe that's what he wanted to point out, that is your work. When you, again he's coming to the same lines, that I am your friend. I am always with you. When you think that this job, what I am doing, or practice I am doing, or writing work I am doing, or cooking I am doing, is Swami's work. So he comes out to the same thing again in many 10,000 different ways. That's the beauty of Swami. Every discourse, every beautiful blessings, when Swami is to stand in front of the mic and talk to us, bless us, what was it? What new was there? Only the examples were new. The main crux is the same in several different ways. Okay, sometimes he used to come out with this rahasyas, really old stories which are not even mentioned in the Puranas. That is different. But mostly, we all know that what Swami wants. What Swami wants is the most important thing, that if we try to console, or rather control and train our mind to say that, okay, today maybe I am a little better than yesterday. After a week, I might be a little more better than last week. Somewhere or the other, we need that kind of homework. Somewhere or the other, we need some kind of a record. Not only on the paper as like marks or numbers, but somewhere or the other, we really should have our own introspection, that was last month better or was this month better? Silently. Swami said, if you do this, if you have a homework every week or every day or every, like, you know, whatever that time we are thinking about that thing. He says that it helps you to grow. You can also see that maybe last week was better, this week I'm not being able to give time. When you say time, it's already 11:30. But when Swami says that if you only look at time and only do it only technically, it doesn't reach me. Unless your pure heart is there, unless your pure thoughts are there, unless your words, I mean word, thought, action has to be there, when you become one with that, then little bit here and there is fine. But why should we do here and there? We are only concerned with time. Sometimes it is like khatak, khatak. Fine. We need that. Sometimes we see in the shopping center also, what, 8:30, khatak, the shutter is down. Or the bakery is down. Even if it's like halfway through, it shuts. But that's the discipline. But when you put that in our life, it's good. But only following discipline and baki all sairam, nothing happening. It doesn't work, sir. So there has to be some balance somewhere. Your trueness, your participation, your dedication to your own self. I mean, God is there. God is always there inside you everywhere. But unless and until you have I mean, we make a practice of that and we make your own kind of a schedule. If you do not do that, it's really difficult. It's very difficult without any schedule. You can't just like, you know, do, oh, hum toh kab aise karenge, hum toh bas Himalaya mein jaake baithenge, apne aap Bhagwan aayenge. Sir, that is all, maybe it was there. But for our God, what He said, that you have to make some effort, not some, these efforts we have to make. Brahmand mein toh Bhagwan baithe hi, haath aise karke baithe, Bhagwan aise kabhi nahi baithte. God never sits with His hands asking for anything. Bhagwan is always like that. It depends on how much efforts we go there, how much clarity with our connectivity, 3G, 4G with God. That's most important. So the whole story comes to is how much we are connected to Him every day. How much we really love Him. If you love Him, we have to follow Him. If you really follow Him, then follow the way He wants you to follow Him. Not just puja archa, not just the ritual. Swami says spirituality is not just rituality. Unless spirit is not there, it is only rituality. Taking flowers from neighbor's house or on the road, we see nice flowers, we pluck them and worship in our God's photo. Is it spirituality or what? Is it required to God? Really? There was a case for that, a story for that, but I don't want to go into that detail. Swami has come down to nitty gritty. When He explained, you won't believe. I mean, He has explained everything physically. What more with such a big avatar, the great Sakshat Parabrahman, coming down to your level, even the most horrible level, and explaining you, beta, ye aisa hai, waisa nahi hai. Everything He has said. What more should we be guided for? What more blessing should we ask for? Only it is up to our minds, our control, our lives, our habits, and especially our own fixed ideas and psychology. That is the worst case. Those psychologies and fixed ideas are so firm that we don't want to break them and change them. No, this is correct. Only I feel this is correct, this is correct. Sometimes we might be wrong. Maybe if it might be an elder person, maybe it might be a younger person, doesn't matter. Maybe a younger person has a better experience or updating is more faster. Or because of experience and age, the elders are always referred to as seniors, as we reverential, because they have so much experience. But when we come down to this connectivity business, when we come to this connectivity, it depends on how each one of us is connected. Then it doesn't matter whether you are having a post as a samiti convener, or you are a state president, or you are a working staff, or you are a trustee, or you are a person standing out there in the Ganesh gate as a sevadal. It doesn't matter. Your connectivity with God has to be one. Your connectivity with your children, I mean, connectivity means like, you know, that love, that understanding, that sincerity. Only when you are really sincere the way Swami wants to be, you to be, us to be, that miracle happens sometimes. But that sometimes should be always. That is what Swami wants. That moment when you say, this is the time, this is that moment, that was a divine moment. Swami said that divine moment is permanent. You are only having it once in a while. Because our efforts are less. Because our sincerity has to be more focused. Coming in society. Isn't it that God says go and sit in the... For some people He said that. They are not maybe capable, or their capacities are more. You can sit in the jungle, or you can sit in the Himalayas and pray and worship. God will bless you. But it's not for all. Living in society, living in public, living in family life, grihasthi life, to control all this, to have that sincerity, that connectivity with God, is what we pray for. So actually this Tripura Rahasya, there is no Rahasya. When you say Rahasya, it's a mystery. But there is no mystery, it's an open book with God. It's an open book, Swami has always been saying. So with this, I think we pray God for that continuous connectivity, that blessing, that divine moment to be with us permanently. And let us ask for His Shakti, Bhakti, our Bhakti and His Shakti. And finally, I do not know about the Mukti part, but when we get that connectivity, maybe continuously, maybe that is Mukti. That's, let's say, that is the Mukti. So with these few words, I hope and thank that Swami blessed us and has been blessing us and will remain blessing us all the time. With these few words, I end my talk over here.
Sai Ram, you just heard to a talk by Sri Nishikant Barodekar. This came to you as an episode of our radio series, Love to Love, a Thursday live segment hosted by Radio Sai's Chandu Vijay at 2 p.m. every Thursday on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Today's episode was first aired live as part of Thursday Live on 11th May 2017. Dear listeners, send us your feedback and comments on this. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.